Thank you, Lord. Can we give the Lord a hand clap of praise? Isn't God good? Amen. He's near this morning. I knew early this morning that God was going to meet with us in a special way. And he's here. He's here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know you've been on your feet most of the morning, but if you will, stand with me and we'll read from the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. I'm going to take you to Daniel chapter 11. We were in Daniel chapter 9 last Sunday night when I shared and we did our prayer. These are the last days. I believe that with all my heart. And these are strange days. And there are so many things happening around us. Turn me down just a little bit in my monitor, Marty. There are so many things happening around us that sometimes it's hard to keep our focus. And you all know that. We come in here on Sunday morning and we get excited by the presence of the Lord and we go out of here and we're excited the rest of the day, maybe even a little bit into Monday, and then the cares of this life just overwhelm us and things just kind of pulls at our peace and our joy. And it might be a doctor's report. It might be the evening news. It might be what some political statement. It might be whatever. But things are pulling at us. There's a scripture that I don't know. I don't even know where or why I heard a portion of this scripture earlier in the week. And you can still turn my monitor down a little bit. I'm loud up here. I don't hear me out there any, but I'm loud up here. There's a scripture that I heard this week, and I had to look it up because I didn't know where it was at. That's better. Thank you. And I had to look it up, and it's in Daniel chapter 11, verse 32. But I want to take you to verse 31 first, and I'll share just a little bit about what's taking place here and what's being said here in Daniel chapter 11, but I won't go into great detail. And I probably won't preach as long this morning for those of you who have been keeping time, like my wife Tracy. But anyway, Daniel chapter 11, verse 31 and 32, for the forces, and it says, and forces shall be mustered by him. This is speaking of the Antichrist. Forces shall be mustered by him. This is New King James Version. And they shall defile the sanctuary fortress, and they shall take away the daily sacrifices and place there the abomination of desolation. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he, speaking of the Antichrist, shall corrupt with flattery, but the people who know their God shall be strong and do exploits, or shall be strong and carry out great exploits. That's what I heard, and it stuck with me. It stuck with me all week. And how many of you know your God? Amen. Amen. Those who know their God will be strong and do exploits. That's what I want to talk about this morning. But I want to put in, I want to kind of, what do they call when you take a part of one tree and you put it, graft. I want to graft in another thought with that. And while you're still standing, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, I believe, says, for everything there is a season, a time for every purpose or every activity under heaven. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that your word is living, it's powerful, It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It reaches to the bone and the marrow, Lord, even the soul and the spirit, and can divide. It discerns what's in the innermost part. And God, I pray today that the word, the sharp two-edged sword, your word, would cut into our hearts, Lord, and show us where we are and where we're at and what we need to hear, Lord, from your spirit that we've missed because of what we're hearing from the world around us. And Lord, I pray that you would cut off everything, God, that is a distraction. And it might not go away, but cut it off from our attention and help us, God, to know you more. Because the more we hear you, the more we know you. As someone said this morning, the more we hear you, the more we know you. I think it was Sister Rose. The more you will do in our lives. Help us, Lord, your people that are here today and who are watching by Facebook and around the world, God, help us to be strong by knowing you, and help us to do exploits for your kingdom. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to go ahead and read there again in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and I'm going to read 1 through 11, and this is the New Living Translation I'm reading from, and I'm going to just read that so you'll kind of get the idea of what this verse is talking about in context. It says, for everything there's a season, everything, a time for every activity, every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to harvest, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, a time to build up, a time to cry, a time to laugh, a time to grieve, a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace, and a time to turn away from embracing, a time to search, and a time to quit searching, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to mend, a time to be quiet, and a time to speak. Notice that. That one's powerful right there. A time to be quiet and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What do people really get for all their hard work? I have seen the burden God has placed on us all, yet God has made everything beautiful in its own time. He has planted eternity in the heart of the human heart. And even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. We cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. We can't see everything that will happen, and we only know in part what has already happened. We can't see the whole thing. But we know that Jesus, being the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, he said he knows the end from the beginning. So at the very beginning of time, the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the earth. He already knew, even before he created man, that man would turn their back on him, that we would sin. And he prepared a Lamb that could take the sins of the world upon him, Jesus Christ. And he knew where we would be and what we would be going through. He knew each of us. It wasn't just that he knew the grand scheme of things for the whole world, but he knew every person in this house and everyone watching by social media. He knew what you'd be going through. He knew where you would be at today. He knew that Sister Retha would be in the hospital. He knew that Brother Charlie Pruitt would already be in heaven with him. He knew all these things. And none of the things that overtake us have overtaken him. None of these things have concerned him. He knew that there would be a pandemic in the land. He knew that there would be social uprising, that there would be racial tensions. He knew that there would be all this political upheaval. He knew that the Democrats and the Republicans would be going at each other and all of these things. He knew all this would happen. He knew what would be happening in China. He knew what would be happening in Russia. He knew that there would be all these things that are taking place. Let me just cut to the chase. He already knew that this was coming. But he not only knew the big scale, the big scheme of things, but he knew you. The Bible tells me that my days are numbered in his book. The Bible tells me that he knows every hair of my head. He knows everything about me. He knows my rising up and my going down. I don't necessarily, I think it means that he does know when I get up in the morning and when I go back down to bed at night. But it also knows, he knew when I would grow, and he knows when I'll lay down in the grave. He knows it all. There's nothing that ever happens that takes God by surprise. He is very aware. I just want us to understand who it is we serve. I know you know him. I know you know him. I saw you worshiping him this morning. I know most of you pretty well, and I know you know him. But what we sometimes forget is that he knows us better than we know him. You've got concerns, you've got worries, you've got troubles, you've got fears, you've got all these things going on around you just like I do. You've got all these things that we're facing and that we're struggling with, and God knows about them. He knows the heaviness of your heart. He knows what weighs on you. He knows if you don't have enough money for this or for that, and he knows if you're hungry. He knows if you're thirsty. He knows everything about you. He knows what your son has done or what your daughter has done or your husband has done or your wife has done. He knows what your aunt and uncle are going through. He knows everything about you, and he cares for you. The word of God even tells us that if he cares for the sparrow or he cares for the lily of the field, how much more does he care for us? So we know God knows us, and I know we know him, but I want to take us back because of just what the Lord is doing in this day, and tell you that the word says that those who know their God will do exploits. God's going to put all this together. Don't worry. I don't know how yet, but he's going to put all this together. This season that we live in is a strange season. I told my dad on the phone this morning, I talked to him on my way in here, usually mom and dad, I'm on my way in here on Sunday mornings, and I told him this morning, I said, you know how I've told you for several weeks, I just figured I wouldn't even say it today, but I told you for several weeks that I struggled over which message to preach. Talked to Dad this morning, he said, I've got three messages. Amen, brother, you know, don't you? It's harder if you have two or three than if you don't have one, I believe, because you're trying to figure out what it is to preach. And so I've been struggling. I told him, I said, I have struggled since the beginning of this pandemic, sometime in February, or at least in early March, I've struggled to be on target. I think I told you, Sister Grace, this just the other day, to be on target with what God wants for that Sunday. The whole Bible is good counsel. It's good word. You can preach from anywhere, and it's going to be the word of God, and it's going to be good. But I want to hear the word of God for the day. And so I really search him. I have for years. I really search him for what he would want me to deliver. And for the last months, I have really struggled during the week to hear. And I have to get here in the middle of the service before God really clarifies. And that's very difficult. But that's not the only thing that's difficult. There's so many things, and you've got your own difficulties. You may not be the pastor of a church, but you've got your own difficulties. You've got family things that are happening, you've got work things that are happening, you've got perhaps financial things that are happening, whatever. And with COVID, there's all these restrictions, and for instance, even when Brother Charlie Pruitt was in the hospital, I called and asked if I might go there, and at the front desk, they said, we'll let you talk to his nurse, and they can make that decision. So I thought, hey, I might be able to get in there to pray with him and pray for him, pray for his family. She said no, and I understand that, but as a pastor, when somebody in your congregation is in really poor condition, really bad condition, health-wise, you want to be there for the family. And it's not happening now because of restrictions. And when you look at the news, when you turn on the news and all that they're doing is giving negative, there should be something good somewhere in the nation that's happening right now. And it is, but you're not hearing about it. Everything that you hear on the news is division or destruction. We've got fires burning down the West Coast. I mean, it's just the whole West Coast. I don't know. I guess that's still going on. We've got hurricanes that every week or so are hitting the Gulf. I mean, it's just over and over. It's just like a 1-2 punch. All these things are happening. You've got riots, not just protests, but riots that are happening. It was every week, and now it's beginning to be every night in some places. Louisville has been rioting for days. I know, but Louisville has been rioting for days. And yeah, it's happening everywhere. And all of these things point to a strange season that we're in. Now, I heard a preacher say one time, this is not an original thought. I believe it was Pastor Todd Hoskins when he came to Ohio and preached. But he talked about the turmoil that happens between seasons. There, when seasons are changing, weather patterns get violent. When you're going out of summer into winter, or when you're going out of spring into summer, or out of winter into spring, whatever, you have violent changes in the weather patterns. Do you all know that the natural and the spiritual mirror one another very often? So what we're seeing in the culture is happening also in nature, and I believe that with all my heart, it's also happening in the spiritual. There's a war that's going on, and the war that's going on is not just against planet Earth. It's not just against the people of America. It's not just against Christian culture, but it actually is a war that's going on between darkness and light. It's a war between Satan and his minions and God and his angels. But we are on the side of God, so we struggle with a lot of things. We face a lot of difficulties, and we might be more aware. I hope we're more aware. We might be more aware of some of the things that are going on, that they have spiritual implications, not just natural implications. I hope we do. But the Word of God tells us there's a time for every purpose under heaven. There's a time for turmoil. There's a time for war. There's also a time for peace. There's a time for sorrow. There's a time for joy. There's a time for embracing, and there's a time to restrain from embracing. All these things, there's a season for everything, and we are in a strange season. This season is not a pleasant season for most people. It's not a pleasant season. If you are a homebody and you don't like to get out in public and you don't want to be around people, maybe you're a hermit and you live somewhere in back in the mountains and you can watch by online media, you might be really excited about all this. You know, I can go pick up my groceries in the parking lot, don't have to go in. That's Lindsay, by the way. Thriving. So everybody sees things differently, but this is a difficult season because of a lot of things. The turmoil that's going on is a distraction, and it is pulling at us. And as Christians, we know that this, I believe, and we should know if we don't, that these are signs of the times. Jesus is coming soon. And there's a lot of turmoil that's going on, and it's not just America. If we're not careful, we get so wrapped up in our culture, in our perspective, and all we're seeing is the United States. But there is upheaval all over the world. It's terrible in so many places. And some places are far worse than this because they're starving. But I'm here to tell you that there is a time for what's happening. This has not taken God by surprise. Where we're at right now is not a surprise to him. And as a matter of fact, it would not have come unless he allowed it. Can you say amen? It wouldn't have come unless he allowed it. So even though this is a strange season, even though this is a difficult season, even though this is a very unpleasant season for most people, God has allowed it. And if he has allowed it, it means that he will turn it for our good. Romans chapter 8, 28, God works all things for good to them who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Right now, behind the scenes, God is working on your behalf. Right now, behind the scenes, when everything seems in turmoil, there's something stirring. There's something stirring, and it's the presence of God, and he's about to break forth in your life to bring joy and peace and prosperity and goodness. I believe that. I believe that. I'm not just saying it to be saying it. I hear preachers saying stuff like that all the time, and I think, is that a prophecy or is that just an exciting word? I'm not just saying it to get you excited this morning. I believe it. God's working behind the scenes. God's working behind the scenes, ladies. He is working behind the scenes. I believe it with all my heart. God is doing something good on your behalf. He's not forsaken. He's not forgotten. It doesn't matter what's going on around us. It doesn't matter if it's a season to restrain from embracing. It doesn't matter if it's a season of sorrow. God is still in the works, and he's still God, and he's still on his throne, and there's still joy, and there's still peace in the time of storm. There's still the presence of God, even when we feel like we have been social distanced. Lindsay talked about it. God is not distancing. I love that. He's coming close. Let me tell you what this season is about. I believe with all my heart, this season is about the rise of the Antichrist. That's what I believe. You might not agree with me. That's okay if you don't. There's a time to agree and there's a time to disagree. But I believe with all my heart, this season is about the rise of the Antichrist. I want to give you a couple scriptures. I wondered how this was all going to tie together because I really didn't know. But there's three scriptures that I want to, they're all in 1st and 2nd John that speak of the Antichrist that I want to talk about. I already read from you Daniel chapter 11, verse 31 and 32, and we talked there about the Antichrist. So let me go back there first. It says, he shall muster up, forces shall be mustered up by him, and they shall defile the sanctuary fortress. And then they shall take away the daily sacrifice and the place there, and place there the abomination of desolation. Those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery, but the people who know their God shall be strong and shall carry out great exploits. So I want us to understand something. You can read in Daniel all the way from chapter 7 through, I don't know, at least chapter 12. And turn me down again, Marty, up here. I'm getting loud again up here. I don't know why. If you read from Daniel chapter 7 all the way through Daniel chapter 11 for sure, but probably chapter 12, you read a lot of different things about the Antichrist. And he's not always described, and actually he's not described in most places with that name, Antichrist, but it calls him the Little Horn or the King of the North, all these different names. I heard the other day that the Antichrist has 27 names in the Bible. I haven't found all that many yet myself, but there are a bunch. Here is the thing. The spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. So we need to understand what the spirit of Antichrist is. When we're looking at Daniel chapter 11, and I'll take you to show you what the spirit of Antichrist is in a minute. I've already told you before, but you may not have remembered it. Daniel chapter 11, when we see this, we see that we're talking about, I believe, an end time Antichrist that will come, and that he will do some things that are completely displeasing to God. The word of God says that he won't regard God and that he will even declare that he is God. And that he will also set up, as we read here, the abomination of desolations, or the abomination that makes desolate. Some abomination that will remove the presence of God from the temple in Jerusalem. Basically what that's saying. And so God won't dwell, we know, the Word of God tells us, in an unclean temple. It's talking about us, but it's also true that if we have sin in the camp, we better take care of it in our congregation or in the temple in Jerusalem. If we want the presence of God, we have to deal with it. The leadership has to deal with it. It's the Word. It's biblical. So we see here that the Antichrist is coming, and that he will, at this point here in chapter 11, he will set up what is called the abomination of desolations. We see that this has already happened in the past. It happened with, I told you about this recently, Antiochus Epiphanes in Israel there in the temple. I don't know the exact date, but around 70 AD, I think. And there was a time that he was a part of the Roman army. He came in, and I don't know all the details, I've not studied this in great depth, but he came in and he called himself God, and he slaughtered a pig on the altar of God. and he dedicated the altar of Jehovah God to Zeus. Now, when we see that, we also, if you remember, we talked about the different churches in Revelation just recently, and Pergamos was, there was an altar there dedicated to Zeus, and God called that the throne of Satan. So the throne of the mercy seat from the altar, the mercy seat in heaven is depicted on the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant that seat was seated in the temple was defiled because a pig, which was considered an unclean animal, was slaughtered upon the altar of God, and it was dedicated to Zeus. God withdrew his presence from the people, but the word says that those who have withdrew from the law would be corrupted by his flatteries, but those who knew their God would do great exploits. Now, if we look back at history, this was not just something that happened and this has already been fulfilled and it won't happen again. I believe with all my heart the Antichrist that is to come will do this. However, Antiochus Epiphanes was of the Antichrist spirit. I'm going to take you those scriptures in just a minute. But he was of the Antichrist spirit. And what he was doing was anti-Christ. It was against Christ. And he said, the word says here that he, speaking of Antichrist, and I'll just tell you, I believe the Antichrist is a spirit. The Bible tells us that. But that there will also be a man who will be possessed by that spirit, who we call the Antichrist. I believe there have been a succession of Antichrist because Jesus said, and the word says actually, that the spirit of Antichrist has already gone out into the world, and it even says there are many Antichrists. And I'm going to read you those scriptures, but I got to get to this point. What was happening there in the first century will be paralleled in, I believe, our day. I'm hoping and believing and expecting that the church will already be called away. But the Jewish people who have not believed on Jesus Christ will suffer. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. They will suffer a lot under the hand of the Antichrist. He will rise to power as a man of peace, but he will destroy the temple that he will allow them to build by profaning it and declaring that he is God. Like I say, this happened with Antiochus Epiphanes, and when we see the scripture here in Daniel chapter 11, it says those who have turned away from the law will be captured or profaned or corrupted by his flatteries. They will believe the lie of the man of perdition, the Antichrist, and they will take it hook, line, and sinker. But there are some, the word of God says, who know their God, and they will do great exploits. Now, some believe that this was fulfilled in part by the Maccabees. And I don't know all about them. I just know that they were a group of dedicated Jewish people, and they fought against the Roman army. And according to history, I do know that according to history, they ran Antiochus Epiphanes out of Jerusalem. They did exploits because they knew their God. And they would not fall for his lies. I tell you all these things just to set a little bit of the stage, because I want you to understand, and I'm not going to preach you along just because I say I'm setting the stage. We're almost done. Almost done. But the thing is, there's coming a day that's going to mirror this. We're in a season of, I believe, the rise of the Antichrist. You have to have, I believe, you have to have all this turmoil in the world for the world to look for someone to save them. If you've got peace, and if you've got safety, and everything is good, and all the nations are getting along, and all the parties are getting along in the different countries, all these things, everybody's getting along, they don't need anybody to come and make peace. They don't need somebody that has great big ideas of how we can do this or how we can do that. But when things start to fall apart, when there's a pandemic, and when the nations are rising against each other, and when the weather patterns are terrible, and all these different things are happening, It's a perfect time for someone who has a plan that could rise up and say, hey, I know how to fix this. I know how to fix that. I know how to fix the other. And those who don't know God will fall for it, and they'll be corrupted by his flatteries. But those who know God will be strong and do exploits. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let me take you to these scriptures real quick. 2 John chapter 1, verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So the word says that many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. This tells me that there's more than one antichrist. There has been a succession of antichrists. Hitler fits the bill, I would guess. Antiochus Epiphanes certainly does. Some others probably have. But we see here that what the criteria for meeting, for coming under the spirit of the antichrist is that they do not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. That does not mean that they won't confess that Jesus was born, but they won't believe, they won't confess that Jesus, Yeshua, the Christ, the Messiah, has come in the flesh. When we see the word Jesus, we're looking at a Greek transliteration. I've said this before, said it outside in the parking lot, one of our services out there. When we see the name Jesus, we sometimes fail to understand, but it comes from Yeshua, which means Jehovah, our salvation. And Christ comes from, if we translate it, it comes from Messiah, HaMashiach. It comes from Messiah, and that means the Holy One of God, the Anointed. So we see that what we're saying when we say Jesus Christ, when we believe on Jesus Christ, we believe that God came into the flesh, and Jesus, the God in the flesh, that God in the flesh was the Holy One, the Anointed One of God. And the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist, doesn't believe that. So I'm going to make a bold statement here, and some may not like it, and some may fear for my life. I'm not worried about it, because right now I'm under the anointing. But Islam is of the spirit of Antichrist. Because they believe that Jesus was a good man, a prophet, but they don't believe that he is the Son of God. They don't believe that he was God in the flesh. They don't believe that he was the Anointed One of God. They don't believe that, so they're of the spirit of Antichrist. There are some Christian, quote-unquote, denominations that don't believe that Jesus was God in the flesh. They are of the spirit of Antichrist. That's what the Word tells me here. Let me give you another scripture. 1 John chapter... Well, we're still in 1 John. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Amen? Some think that's wrong today, because you hear people say all the time, don't judge, don't judge. He did this, he did that. Here's how he's living his life, but he's still prophesying. Don't judge. This says, this is the word of God, don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Not necessarily test the people, but test the spirit. What spirit are they of? Test the spirit. And we should know, if we're of the spirit of Christ, the word of God tells us that we will have that relationship one with another. We'll know each other. Okay, so test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Many false religions, many false denominations, many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this, you know the Spirit of God. Here's how you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that professes that Yeshua HaMashiach, that Jehovah, our salvation, the Holy One of God, has come in the flesh. That's Jesus Christ. Everyone that confesses that Jehovah, God, has come in the flesh of a man is of God. That's what this says. And we have to understand that, because if we just look at, okay, I believe that Jesus was a good man, or I believe that he died for me, even if you believe that he died for you, but you don't understand that he was from God and he was fully God. If we don't understand that, according to the Word of God, we are of the spirit of Antichrist. There are so many beliefs, so many religions, so many false denominations they've been afraid to say that Jesus is God. There have been whole discussions over it. He's God. Jesus is God just as the Father is God. The Holy Spirit is God just like Jesus is God. I believe in one God, but he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God the Father exists. God the Son exists. He came here to this earth. He was called the Word. John chapter 1, verse 1. And the Holy Spirit exists, and he dwells in us today. And we can have a good belief that would seem right, but if we don't believe that God came in the flesh, if we don't believe that Jesus was not only from God, but is God in the flesh, we are getting into the area of the spirit of error or the spirit of Antichrist. I can just tell you, I don't understand the fullness of the Godhead. I can't. I don't understand how he's three in one. But he's still God, whether I understand it or whether I don't. But what we have to get to, what we have to understand here, is the Word says that every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ, this is not just a name. He's got a name above every name. He has an excellent name. He has a name that even at the mention of his name, demons flee. He has a name that's the only name whereby men must be saved. But this is not just a name. This is a description of who he is. He is God, and he is the Holy One that was anointed to bring salvation to the world. And if we don't believe who he is, we will be led astray. But if we know him, and he wants you to know him, if we know him according to the Word of God, we'll do great exploits. Let me read the rest of this. Every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. 2 John chapter 1, verse 7 says, "For many deceivers have gone into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh." This is the deceiver and the Antichrist. Might have read that one already. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, just to be sure I got them all. "Children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that Antichrist is coming, so now many Antichrists have come. Therefore, we know that it's the last hour. According to the Word of God, many antichrists are coming." There's only one Jesus Christ. There's only one Savior of the world. But there are many antichrists. I've been studying the Antichrist. I've been studying the Mark of the Beast. I've been studying Revelation. I've been studying Daniel. I've been studying all these things. And I know you can tell that because I keep staying in this vein. But I've been studying all that. And we think of anti meaning against. And it can mean that. Anti-gravity means it resists gravity. So we think about anti-Christ meaning it resists Christ or against Christ. Anti-acid, antacid. It resists the acid. It counteracts the acid. But that's not the only meaning. If you look it up in the original language, it's not the only meaning. It means in the place of or besides. So there is a concern in my mind that many in the church or in the Jewish community, at least if the church is already gone, many who have been taught the truth, let's say that, even in the Gentile nations, maybe if the church has already been raptured out of here. But my concern is that some will see this person rise to power and they will accept him as the Christ in place of the Christ. And I believe that's exactly what will happen in the Jewish community. And I hope that it doesn't happen in those who have believed on Jesus or have been taught the Word of God in Christian churches. But there is a deception. And the Word of God even tells us that some will believe a lie and be damned. And what we read here in chapter 11 of Daniel tells us that there will be some who will be corrupted by his flatteries. The Word of God even tells us that the Antichrist and the false prophet would move in miracles and signs and wonders. I believe that the season that we're in is a setup. This is the time for the church to prepare for the coming of the true Messiah, the return of Jesus Christ. Are y'all with me? I believe that this is the time that he has allowed his church to have a span of time. We are short on time, people. Jesus is coming back. The world is at the end, and we have loved ones who don't know Jesus. He's given us this time to fall on our knees and to beg God for mercy for our loved ones, and that we ask that the Holy Spirit go to them, but not just pray, but also take the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone that we know that don't know Jesus. Got a message last week from a young lady in Pennsylvania. She had been watching some of the videos and she was concerned about her lost loved ones. And she was saying, I'm praying that the Lord doesn't come back quite yet because I've got people, friends, family, who don't know Jesus. What's God waiting on? What's God waiting on? The Word says he's long-suffering usward, toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He is waiting right now on the precious fruit of the earth. He's waiting for your loved ones, but he won't wait forever. His spirit will not always strive with man. Jesus is coming back, and we're in that season. If we're going to win the lost for Jesus, now's the time. This is a setup for the church to prepare for the coming of Jesus Christ, to get our robes white, to get our hearts pure, to make our focus on heaven rather than this world. But it's also a setup for the world because something terrible is coming. There's coming a day, the Word says, like no day that's ever happened before. There's coming a time of famine and pestilence and war and trouble. And the Word says that there has never been tribulation or trials or troubles like there will be. And this is coming. But someone will come on the scene and have some answers, and he'll rise to power, and he will deceive many because of his flatteries. But I'm here to tell you, he is anti-Christ. He's not necessarily just against. He may even say that Jesus was a great man, but I am the second coming. Who knows what he will say? But he will be a deceiver. He will be a liar because our Lord is coming in the clouds with great glory. It's time we be aware. It's time we know. Today, even though it's a strange season we live in, today is the day of preparation for the coming of our King, our God. He's coming back after us. He's coming. There are, according to the Word of God, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, many antichrists. Somebody was telling me the other day about someone they'd been talking to. I don't even remember who it was. Might have been a conversation yesterday. I'm not sure, but somebody was telling me about someone that they knew that didn't believe that Jesus was the Christ. We need to pray for anyone who hasn't believed that because they have believed a deception of the devil. And in these days, that's becoming a large number of people. I don't know if I'd say majority, but it's becoming a large number of people This nation, I saw statistics lately that talks about who believes what, and this nation still, so many people claim to be Christian, but many people, the majority now, don't believe that Jesus was God in the flesh. They don't believe that he was the Son of God. And if you've got, I believe it was only 40% that believe it now. I think that's what it is. If you've only got 40% in this nation that believe, and this nation has been saturated with the gospel. If you only have about 40% that believe that Jesus is the Son of God, we're in a desperate season. It's time for us to know our God. It's time for us to stand for him. And if we stand for him, he'll stand for us. We can see that with Stephen. As Stephen was being stoned, Jesus stood at the right hand of the Father. We can see that. Jesus will stand for you if you'll stand for him. He will stand up on your behalf. He's not going to forget about you. He will not forsake you. The Word of God says that if we believe on him, we will not be ashamed. It's time we stand for righteousness. It's time we stand for truth. It's time we stand firm on the doctrine that Jesus is the only way to God. You're hearing all over that he's not the only way, but I can tell you, he said he's the only way. And I believe him. I believe him. Okay, this is a season of turmoil. Not just in the nation, not just in the world, but in our family. It's a season of turmoil. But I'm here to tell you it didn't take God by surprise. And he's going to turn it around. He promised he would. Romans chapter 8, verse 28. If we love him and are the called according to his purpose. How many of you were called to repentance by the Holy Spirit? You've accepted, believed on Jesus Christ. You are called according to his purpose. If you love him and you are the called according to his purpose, he's turning things around right now for your good. That's good news. That's good news. Might not look like it. Might not feel like it. I don't know where this came from, but I feel like I need to say it. Might not even taste like it. You might get up and you might, you know, the Bible talks about eating with gladness, or I think's how it says it. You might get up and your food might not have any good taste. I love, absolutely love coffee. And my favorite is Tim Horton. But my coffee hasn't even been good lately. I had some pretty good coffee this morning. But sometimes my coffee doesn't even taste good. And I think it's because I'm so overwhelmed that I can't even enjoy the little things. And I'm just wanting to tell you that God is turning things around. He has not failed, and he will not fail. And no matter what's going on in this world, no matter what's going on in your life, he has not forsaken. He will not forsake you. He is on your side. He is a good God. He is always a winner. He will not fail you. He will come through, and he will turn this situation around. Jesus Christ is coming. Hallelujah. He's coming with power. Fear not, sister. Fear not. You've been weighed down. You've been troubled. You've been heavy. I'm telling you, God is working behind the scenes. He's working. He's working. He's satarabashataya. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Lord, out of her belly shall flow rivers of living water. Let it flow, let it flow. In Jesus' name. Sister, the same for you. Don't be in despair. He's got this. He's got this. He's on your side. Stand up just a minute. He's on your side. Wave and praise him. Wave and praise him. Hallelujah. 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 I'm not just with you on Sunday. I'm not just with you in the joy. I'm with you in the brokenness. I'm with you in the shadow. I'm with you in the sorrow. I'm with you in the despair. I have not and I will not leave you. Oh, Lord, we glorify you. Lord, we glorify you. Lord, we glorify you. Amen. I don't want to disturb the presence of God that's here. I'm going to ask, though, our worship team to come back. And Johnny, I want you to sing Nothing Else. And I want to give you the opportunity right now to just cry out to the Lord and to worship him. To worship him. And don't be hindered. Worship him in spirit and in truth. Worship him. Trust him more. Lean on him. Learn to lean. Lean on him. He's got this. He has got this. It might be a strange season, but in this season, he's here. He's here. He's here. It might be a hard season. Might be a sad season, but in this season, you can lean on him. You can lean on him. You can lean on him.